So we're in our series, Renovation, and let me show you and see what you think about this renovation project right here. So here's the before. Are you ready? Here's the after. What do you think? Let me show you that again in case you weren't sure, okay? So here's the before. After. Let me help you with side by side just to be able to compare in case you're not sure. How do you like this renovation project? What's wrong? No what? Oh. Do you have to have changes? Are changes required? If you don't have any change, it wasn't a renovation, right? The whole point is to change. That's the whole point of this. So we don't just say, hey, we had a renovation. People come in, I can't tell. So how many times do we go home after church, after experiencing the life-changing God, and people are like, I don't think there was a renovation there. You look the same, maybe worse, right? We should have positive changes going on in our lives. And so just to illustrate this, I'm going to do something a little strange, but this is going to, again, it's an illustration. Now, I hate it whenever speakers manipulate the crowd and do weird stuff just because they have the microphone. I hate that. And so whenever I ask you to do what I'm going to ask you to do, don't just leave because you're mad at me, okay? Which I've thought of doing when people try things like this, okay? So just stay with me. It's going to be okay. I'm going to ask you to make a change here in just a few seconds. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you to change seats. Okay? Whether that's a switch with the person next to you, slide over one, come down to all these nice open seats if you want. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to make a change. Ready? One, two, three, go. Very, very nice. I think we only lost three people. All right, so that was pretty impressive. I'm seeing laughs and smiles. Did anybody, let's be honest, did anybody not change? Let me see, raise your hand. Oh, a couple. We always have a couple. All right. No, but so was that fun?
Yeah.
Well, some people that like change do, right? No, it's not fun, right? It's not what you came up with. I can't wait for him to make me change. It's not convenient. It's not comfortable. And sometimes changing is not cool, right? But change is crucial. You have to have the change or there's no renovation. And we have to get used to this. And we don't like it. It's not natural. We're hardwired for stability and keep everything just like it is. I don't know about you, but I like for things to have their place. Okay, so whenever I come in the bathroom in the morning, there's my thing here, and this is here, and here, and here. If someone puts something else there, I just don't like it, right? Anybody else, same way? Things that need to have their place? Others of you, any place is fine, right? Others of you are like, it doesn't matter. Yeah, okay. We're different, right? But the idea is for us to move forward, there has to be change, and it will be a practical, real change. We're in the verse, Romans 12, 2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transform. Don't get stuck. And we've been looking at different words in this verse. Today I want to look at the word conformed. And the Greek word that they translated that from is this long one, systematizeste. I'm glad that I practiced long enough to be able to say that, right? But what's, look in there. Look at what's in there. Do you see the kind of the roots of different ideas in that word? Let's start off with the sys, S-Y-S. What does that make you think of? Sinking up, right? The same, it's the idea of the same, S-Y. And then the next word, look at that next word. Schematic, you see it there? So the sinking up with the schematic. A schematic is a plan or a diagram for how something is supposed to be built or structured. And so it's the same, or getting in the same place with the diagram, being matched up with this design, conforming. We understand where this is coming from now. And so the idea is not to conform, not to get stuck with this level. We talked about how we don't want to get stuck in this world. Don't be conformed to or get synced up to the system of this world or this era or this level. Don't get stuck in it. Whenever we lived in China a few years ago, we heard about this amazing place way up north in the city of Harbin called the Ice and Snow Festival. So these guys maximized on what used to be a liability, which is really cool, by the way. a liability can become an asset. It was crazy, crazy cold. They said, let's just celebrate that it's crazy, crazy cold and invite people to come and enjoy it. And tons of people do. So it's really, really cold. And then it's winter time, and we all go to go see all this crazy cold. But they built these cities, these amazing things out of ice. They put lights inside of it so you go and you see. So we were going up there to see this. And we're all bundled up. Laura bought all the good stuff off of Taobao, so we got all of our winter stuff on. We're walking around, right? And we're at the bus stop going in, and some people trying to sell us these. Okay? We've never seen these before in our lives. But these people walk up to us, and they're telling us, buy it here because it's cheaper here than it is inside. Right? I don't even know why I would buy this. But you're telling me I need to take advantage of it. And so we had that decision that every tourist has to make, right? I've never been here before. I'm going to have to trust someone, which is just scary when you're a tourist. You say, am I going to trust the person trying to scam me outside? Or am I going to go inside with the professional scammers to have a whole system built to scam me? Because somebody's going to scam me. That's the whole thing, right? So I think we bought a couple outside and a few inside, like 50 RMB on the outside. You go inside and there's 50 kwai inside. It's like, you know what, it's the same. But anyway, they're trying to sell us something, but we didn't know. We didn't know because we were outside. They're telling us, look, you got to buy now. You got to buy it here because this is where it's easier and better and we have cheaper prices. Those people inside are trying to scam you, but we're your friend. Buy from us. And that's what happens in our lives as well. So we have this world around us telling, hey, look, buy now. Buy here. Build here. Because you don't know what's over there. And those people, they're just trying to get something out of you. So you better invest now. And someone else is saying, no. It's better over there. It's better over there. And you have to make a decision. Who am I going to believe? Who am I going to trust? And so what we're saying is, look, let's look at God's word. Let's look at people that we can trust and understand. No. We can trust him. We can say, okay, I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed. And how will that happen? Well, with the renewing of our mind. See, the nice thing about traveling is we have this amazing thing now that they didn't have a long time ago called the internet. And we have these amazing things called reviews and comments. So you can go and read someone else who's been there. They'll tell you, don't buy the sled outside. You'll carry it around for half the day and you don't need it. So if you go around and you ask questions, you can learn, you can renew your mind, you can get more information and make good decisions. So that's what we're saying here. Renew your mind. Don't be conformed, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Get more information from a reliable source. And so we go to Scripture, we go to God and say, okay, God, you tell me about these situations. You help me understand and see the reality of what's going on around me. I heard about a guy the other day, speaking of change, trying to think about how can we renew our minds a little bit better? How can we have better information coming in and not, you know, maybe get rid of some of the trash? So speaking of change, again, this is huge. There's a guy I know who made a change that is, man, one of those ones where you're afraid to go to sleep at night, right? You sleep with one eye open because your family may come and get you in the middle of the night. He cut off Netflix. Dangerous, right? Some of you are like, okay, man, what would I do if someone did that to me? What would I do with 25 extra hours a week? Right? Netflix, he made a change. He made a change. Bravo to this guy for being willing to make a change and have better information coming into his mind. In his heart. What we're saying here is, look, we have to make positive changes. We need good information to be able to make the decisions and move the direction that God would have for us. You see, we're not the same. We're not like we used to be. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. We can't keep living like the other life. We can't keep investing the way we used to. We can't act like or behave like all the other people who are still in that world because we're not of that world anymore. And so we need you, Father, to take us to a new place, to bring us out of that and into something new and better. As was mentioned a minute ago, Daniel's here. Daniel, I'm going to ask you to come on down. So Daniel, he was with us this last summer. Come on down, Daniel. He was one of our support staff guys, and he's off in Shanghai learning Mandarin, like with a immersion type deal. Ni hao ma? I'm out. That's all I got, so... I can count ER, sign, that's about it. So I learned how to buy stuff. But hey, man, so you're what school are you with?
I'm at Jiao Tong University.
Okay, and how's the Mandarin study going?
Really good. All the teachers, they speak in just full Mandarin. The people there speak Mandarin.
Yes, it's amazing. It's crazy. So, I don't know why they do that.
So it's been really good. I have a lot of chance to speak Chinese and learning it as well.
That's
so
good.
It's been a blessing.
So we bumped into each other a couple of days ago in the morning, just kind of a divine appointment. We got to sit down for a few minutes and chat. And so he was telling me something really cool about the church that he's a part of in Shanghai. Okay?
Yeah.
Did you know they have those in that part of the world, right? So tell me about your church and some things that you're excited about.
Okay, so the church that I go to there is called Shanghai Community Fellowship. And basically, they advertise the fact that around 100 different nations worship under the same roof, and that's pretty amazing. And it just reminds me of the passage that you were preaching on during summer when it was Psalm 46: "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations." Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing to see that kind of playing out with my own eyes, and it's incredible.
Let's praise God for the work He's doing in China. Can you do that? So you were saying there was this emphasis that they kind of were working on. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the first time I came here, we were doing, you were kind of going through the exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, and then Christ-centered.
This one?
Exactly that one, yeah. And so just a few weeks ago, the church, SCF, they were talking about how a lot of people that would leave the church would kind of message some of the pastors that were there and were saying, like, "Oh, we really miss you guys." And at first they were saying, "Oh, cool, like, we're missed, right?" And how they do community so well. But then they started realizing that a lot of the people that left kind of felt like they had the rug swept under them, and their walk in faith and their walk in Christ was also at risk, and they felt like they were kind of lost because they couldn't find a community that was so kind of as great as this one, and so they've started this new initiative, and they're doing the exact same thing where they're going through everyone kind of arrives at the church in one of these four areas: exploring Christ, growing in Christ, close to Christ, or Christ-centered, and so now they're putting a huge emphasis on Jesus at the center. Yeah, so that's pretty awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. So this is from Chicago. I didn't know it was from Chicago, and spreading all over the world, even in Shanghai, people are seeing the importance of you taking steps forward in your own journey. So, well, again, thank you. Let's say thanks to Daniel for being here. Good to see you. Thank you for your help. Yeah. So yeah, so many times we get excited about, you know, some of the things that we have around us, and we forget, no, we're on a journey. We need to be moving forward. And so whenever he was sharing about this church actually encouraging people in that as well, I was like, yes, we need to talk about this and see it's happening other places. And so this is good stuff. Where are you? Where are you going? Are you taking that next step? Are you growing in your walk? And so, let's move forward. You know, so at the end of the service today, we're going to have a prayer time. And I like to emphasize the prayer because let me just tell you what I hope to happen eventually. You know, Jesus said, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations," right? And I believe he means that. I think he wants us to actually be people of prayer. And so I think it's great to have opportunities. And we all need prayer. And so we want to build in this idea where we go and we pray and we don't feel weird about it. We're not like nervous, but like we're trying to see if I can be first to get down here, to see if I can have someone just pray over me. And then what's cool is, I don't know if you notice, but after everybody leaves, that group prays for each other. It's just so important for us to have the prayer. My idea one day is that we have like more people in the prayer area than we have mingling around, because prayer is just what we do. My hope is that one day we have a time when people are all praying for each other all over the auditorium. Whenever we're out in the streets, whenever we're in Fusion, whenever we're in Welcome, when we're on the bus, we're just praying for each other. We're people of prayer. That's my hope. We can become that. And so, man, I don't know where you are on your journey, but I hope that you'll be willing to take advantage of the opportunities that we have. And people to pray for you. I don't know what God has next for me, but please pray for me. So we want to be people of prayer. And there are hard steps to take. I mean, taking a huge step of belief, we'll talk about in a minute, it's not easy to do. But it's so important for us to take the step of discipline. Man, it's not fun to be disciplined, to do stuff I don't want to do. But you grow in that process. And then the last one we're going to talk about today, surrender. Massive, huge, difficult step that we need prayer covering for. I saw this word on Friday morning. I just felt led to go over and pray on the central side. So walking around, there was no crazy stuff happening. It was very nice. Just to do some prayer walking. If you like that, let me know. We'll do it together. But I was over on the central side, and I saw this word spray painted. I love this word, by the way. Hope. Now, let me give you context. Here's the rest of it, right? So hope for the best. Prepare for the worst. Okay. It's journalism, right? That's what happens to us all the time. It's what happens in the news, by the way. You read that news article, you just got a little bitty piece of what was actually happening. But still, I don't care. Someone took spray paint and painted the word hope. And I'm just going to say glasses half full. Hope. There's a chance. Hope for the best. And how can we be a part of that? So also on the table out there, there's clipboards for each day of the week. And I just want to invite you to pray. Even if it's just for one day a week, to pray 3 times a day for Hong Kong. So there's a Sunday, Monday, all the way through the whole week. I put my name on every day because I'm saying I'm going to pray at least 3 times a day, every day, for God to bring hope back to Hong Kong, for God to bring peace, for God to bring love and His power into Hong Kong. I believe as we pray, God will answer. So I want to invite you, put your name on a clipboard or just pray. The clipboard's not magical, but the idea is to be people of prayer, asking for God to bring change, not just in us, but around us as well. Here's a guy who was able to see that happen in his life through some amazing things that he went through. And so today, as we talk about renovation, we're going to look at this guy named Paul, the Apostle Paul. We'll move very quickly because we have a lot to cover in a little bit of time. But this guy, when it comes to Jewish heroes, this guy was set to be the new Superman. Look at Philippians chapter 3. It goes through his pedigree, where he came from, all the studies, all the credentials he had, and he was the top. He was amazing. And on top of that, he had the passion for God. So he did everything right, and then he was going after it. He's like, you know what, we're going to defend God, and these Christians who are trying to mess up everything, we're going to take them out. We're going to do all that we can to ruin them. And so he's passionate. But at this phase, he's still in the exploring time, actually. It's kind of crazy to think of. But he was exploring. Even though he was this passionate, he had his pedigree, he was in the exploring section when it comes to knowing Christ. Because to him, Christ was over there, and he's an enemy, actually. And so we have this guy who was great, but then he's outside. But then we have these 3 phases of his life where we have him shift to growing, and then close, and then finally to centered. And I want to look at those briefly individually. So the first one was this belief moment. And I call it the wow phase for Paul. Because there was one day when he was going to get the Christians, and he's going along, he's going to make this thing happen. All of a sudden, Jesus appears to him, knocks him off his horse, and just in a few hours, he's literally turned the other direction. Hey, we're going to go tell people about Jesus. I mean, that's a huge belief shift, right? You think your belief shift is a difficult one? No, Paul's was difficult. Jesus is the enemy to Jesus is God. That was his belief shift. And he did it. It wasn't easy. He didn't eat for 3 days as he was wrestling with this. But finally he made that belief shift. And so he moves from exploring to growing. Now he's beginning to learn, okay, all these scriptures that I've learned before, and he starts preaching about it actually, he now sees how they support Jesus instead of the other way around. And so he's now working for Jesus in that first phase, the wow phase. And then we see him kind of go off on his own for a while. And then Barnabas, there's this guy named Barnabas who knew about Paul, and he goes and he gets Paul from his hometown and brings him to a place called Antioch. And in Antioch, we read about just some amazing things that were happening. He learned about the intercultural, the global reach of the gospel. He learned about fellowship. And so it's while he's in Antioch, I believe that he goes to this close phase where he just enjoys the fellowship. He enjoys the fellowship of believers, and now he's accepted instead of being excluded. And where he's in this fellowship phase, where he's close to Christ. And then in Acts chapter 13, we read about how the elders, the leaders of the church, were worshiping and fasting, they're praying and seeking God. And the Spirit says to them, take Barnabas and Paul and send them out. And so then we see Paul enter the last phase that I call the suffering phase, or we would call it the Christ-centered phase. he enters this last phase that is not easy for him. They have all these different challenges. And this suffering that he goes through is because of his faith. And I want to make sure we have a distinction between the things that we go through that are just part of this broken world. Okay? We have crummy things that happen to us, difficult things that happen because we're in a fallen world. Okay? And that those are challenges and those are difficulties, but we can't really classify those as suffering for Christ. Right? So, for instance, so my grandmother passed away, you know, a year and a half ago, and that's difficult and sad for the family, but that's not persecution. That's not suffering for Christ. You understand? We're sad. It hurts. We have to walk through that difficult time, but that's not suffering. Are you with me? I'm not trying to take away from any difficulty you're walking through, but there's a difference between difficulties and challenges and suffering for Jesus. Okay? What's the difference, by the way? Jesus, right? One of those is because of Jesus. Again, if we have just walking through life and difficult things happen, that's part of life. But if we're inviting that trouble on us because we're trying to advance the name of Jesus, that's persecution. That's because we're Christians. And so whenever it's because we're Christians that we're suffering, that makes a difference. And so we're going to have difficulties in life, but this one's different. So if you have your Bible, Acts chapter 16, we're going to look at one situation where Paul goes through some suffering. He goes through some persecution because he's after the name of Jesus. So Acts chapter 16, we're going to start reading in verse 19. I'll give you a quick background. So on this missionary trip, this is his second missionary trip, Paul is now with another guy named Silas. And so they go into the city of Philippi. And when they get into the city of Philippi, there's a demon-possessed gal that follows them around. And she's mocking them, right? She's following around saying, hey, this guy's going to tell you about Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. This guy's going to tell you about Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. So it's like every day it's just become super annoying. And they put up with it for a long time. But finally one day, Paul turns around to this demon-possessed girl and he says, in the name of Jesus, leave her. And the demon leaves her. Okay? Now, the problem is, this girl didn't just make fun of Paul and Silas. She also told people's fortunes. So her owners, she was a slave girl, her owners made a ton of money off of her. So now that she's lost this demon, she can't tell the future anymore. So these guys are livid. They're upset because now they can't make money. Right? So that's where we pick up the story in verse 19. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. Oh. And when they had brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews. They're disturbing our city. They advocate customs that were not lawful for us as Romans to accept and practice. The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates tore the garments off of them and gave orders to beat them with rods. Oh, that's a fun mission trip. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, ordering the jailer to keep them safely. Having received this order, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Oh, that's not a very nice hotel. Okay, verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Okay, what was happening at midnight? They're praying and singing in the jail at midnight. What is going on? They're happy? They're happy? Whoa, this doesn't match. This doesn't match up with what I would think that they would be feeling, and then it doesn't match what I would be thinking as well. So I just ask, you know, look at what their situation is and think about yourself, and I just want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to go in and have, you know, be put in prison, have your feet in the stocks, be beat with rods? Does that sound pretty fun? No. Are you ready for it? So we're going on the Cebu mission trip. I'm going to undo everything you did, Trevor, right? So as soon as you say, you know what, I'm going in the name of Jesus, if something bad happens to you, that's persecution, okay? So if we go on the Cebu mission trip and we get in trouble, get thrown in jail, that's persecution, okay? I don't expect that to happen in the Philippines. But whenever you're going in the name of Jesus and bad things happen, this is the suffering. This is the persecution we're talking about. But it's because you're going in the name of Jesus that things like this are happening to you. So Paul and Silas, they're in the jail and they are suffering. Are we ready to suffer for Jesus? Now again, I'm not asking you, are you ready to sacrifice for Jesus? That's important, and some of you are doing that. But I just want to ask, are you ready to suffer for Jesus? There's a difference. Are you ready to suffer for Jesus? I'm afraid that this concept is totally foreign to our thinking. We're so wired for comfort. We're so wired for what is going to be predictable and okay and safe. I think many times we're stuck in the growing and the close section. We like to connect and we like to grow, but to go, ooh, that looks a little risky. And we don't like risk. And so we have this idea that as long as church gives me a buzz, I'm in. As long as church helps me and my children especially behave better, I'm in. But as soon as God or anyone else asks me to do something difficult, see ya. Because church is supposed to be fun. This relationship with God is supposed to be encouraging and warm and fuzzy. Now let me just acknowledge that if you are in this category, or probably even this category, what I'm talking about this morning is just whoosh, over your head, and that's fine. I need to address these people. Okay? Are you ready? Are you ready? You know, the events of this last week, man, it's just, okay, this is starting to get real. And the questions that come up for me, I was telling Laura even yesterday, okay, hey, what's going on? It reveals where our hope is, where our confidence is. Like, okay, I have got to reset some stuff. I've got to renovate some of my thinking and not get so wrapped up in my own agenda, comfort, peace, wellness, and so on. I said, okay, God, what are you doing? And what's my part in that? So Paul and Silas, later in Philippians chapter 3, there he is in the stocks with Silas. Look at these guys, smiling, singing. That doesn't look fun at all. But Paul, whenever he's writing in Philippians chapter 3, he gives this, you know, his credentials. Look at all these great things, these things I could brag about. But then he says, but I count all that as loss. I don't care about all of that. And he gets to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, and he says this. Here's my real goal. My real aim is that I may know him. He wants to be close to Christ more than anything else. I want to get close to him, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, this power that conquers death, and may share in his, what's the word?
Sufferings.
You see, if we want to be close to Christ, this is part of it. And to different degrees. You know, God may not put you on a path that involves a lot of suffering. There are people on the planet right now today who will lose their lives in the next 24 hours because they claim the name of Jesus. That's happening on our planet now. Now, we haven't been asked to do that. But are we ready? Do we see this goal of being close to Christ no matter what it takes? I want that. And maybe you're thinking this morning, hey, this doesn't make any sense. I don't like it at all. So we have one verse that I want to come back to in just a second. So we have this idea of, okay, I don't like it. This idea of suffering, okay, you guys can enjoy that. I'm just going to think about something else because it's not fun. Why would I, is your logical question, why would I want suffering? Why would I even be okay with suffering? Why? Why would I give up everything this world offers? Why would I walk away from the treasures of this level and look for something else? Why would I do that? And I would just say, you know what? You won't unless your mind has been renewed. Unless your thinking has been shifted. Unless there's been a renovation in your thoughts and in your heart, there won't be a renovation in your life. You won't see it happen. Here's this verse that Jesus gives us. It's a parable in one verse, and I love it. Jesus says this, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his, what's the word?
Joy.
joy, he goes and sells what? All that he has and buys that field. So here's the reality. He knew something about the field that nobody else knew. And so it says, with joy, he goes and sells, what's the word again? All that he has. His wife, his family, his co-workers, everybody's like, what are you doing? It's a midlife crisis. Just stop. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't sell it. Hang on. He's like, no, I have to. I have to sell everything because there's something I'm going for that you don't know about and you can't see, but I've seen it and I want it. So I'm going to give up everything because this is worth it. In his joy, he sells everything and he goes and he buys the field. Do you see the difference? There's this level that everybody else sees, but then his mind has been opened to a different level. And he says, what used to matter doesn't because I want this. And so he goes through the suffering, he goes through the craziness so he can have that treasure that he's seen. And so for us, the only way we're going to be willing to and even excited about suffering is when we see the treasure. When we see that something is better on the other side. When we begin to realize that's one way that I can get closer to this man who's my hero. The reason that I exist is to be close to him. I want to be close to Christ. And sometimes suffering will help refine away all the other stuff in my life so that I can be close to him. So I'll go back to this picture of Paul and Silas in the stocks in prison. And they're smiling, they're happy, they're singing, they're praising. Why are they happy? They've seen something, haven't they? They've seen something that other people don't see and that we can't even see in this moment. I was wondering, what did they see? But then I just thought back to the story. Just think about the story. Remember day after day after day, there was a slave girl who wasn't just a physical slave, she was a spiritual slave. And she was taunting them for day after day after day. And then Paul addressed this demon. And it doesn't tell us what happened, but I can just imagine. It tells us that the owners were upset. It doesn't tell us about her. She's free. She's set free. I can just imagine these guys in the cell saying, did you see her face? Did you see her face? When she was set free from the oppression of the enemy. When she realized that Jesus wasn't just this thing she could use as a weapon, but she could use it as a life-giving source of eternal, wow, relationship with God forever. What? Yes! And so they see this, and they say, you know what? It was worth it. Why didn't we do that 2 weeks ago? Why didn't we get beat and thrown in prison 2 weeks ago so that she could be set free? Or I don't know what else. But there was something that happened where they have this relationship with God that's totally different because they went through it. And they're praising, and they're worshiping, and they're praying. And here's what I love. At the end of verse 25, it says this, and the prisoners were listening to them. All around them in prison, these other people are saying, they're weird, and I think I like it. I think I like it. Would that God would do that in our hearts. But even if it's difficult, even if people at work say things about us, those crazy Christians, even if we have to stand out a little bit because we're those crazy Christians, even if we don't get the promotion, even if whatever it may be, because we're owning the name of Jesus, and then we see what happens as a result, the other people around who are now part of the family, the chance we have to understand Jesus in a new way because we've suffered a little bit, it's worth it. And we're excited because we want to know him. More than anything else. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Maybe today yours is the very first step where Paul had to make this belief change that was not easy. And so you would say, you know what? That's me. My beliefs are not in Jesus right now. I'm believing in something else, and maybe I'll be a good person, or there's lots of ways to get there, or whatever. But today you're ready to make that change, that step of faith. And so maybe you would pray a prayer similar to this one. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I can't take care of my sin on my own. I turn away from that life, and I focus my eyes on Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sin. I trust Jesus today. Jesus, thank you that you rose from the dead. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I thank you that you promised me life forever. So I receive your forgiveness today. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe that's the prayer you need to pray, the commitment that you need to make. No magic prayer, but just this agreement in your heart. Jesus is Lord. Maybe you're a Christian and you're growing and you say, you know what, there needs to be some changes. God's making me think of, the Holy Spirit is bringing these things to mind that need to change. And so I just encourage you, whatever that thing is, take that step of faith today. Say, you know what, by your strength, I'm going to make that change. With your help, I'm going to renovate an area of my life. Or maybe you're close to Christ or Christ-centered and there's some suffering on the path ahead. And you don't want to do it, of course, but you see the intimacy with Jesus, and so you say, yes, I'll go. I'll take the step. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. I pray in each one of our hearts, by your Spirit, you'll touch, you'll reveal, you'll teach, you'll convict, you'll comfort, exactly as we need it. May we not walk out the same. May we be different. And we pray in the strong name of our hero, Jesus. Amen.